What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Tuesday edition of All Canadian. We are back. Connor O'Neill, Wade Zancata. Combine results are in. We are definitely going to be talking about those coming up. Some of the best results, some of the best guys available at the position groups. But first, as always, to start this show off, we would like to remind everybody that Sawdust City Brewing Company offers brewery fresh beer delivered directly to your door. Visit their website at sawdustcitybeer.com to shop their wide variety of brews and learn more. This April, CFP listeners are getting an exclusive promo code. Use CFP during checkout to receive free shipping on all orders over $100. Shipping is available to Ontario residents only, and you must be legal drinking age. Wade, what do you got tonight? What do you got cracked? Your order came in.
I have Electric Storm tonight. I'm going with the tried and true.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
One more thing before we get started, though, that the Canadian Football Perspective podcast is also brought to you by our friends at Fox 40, the worldwide leaders in whistle technology. For 15% off all your return-to-play whistle needs, visit fox40shop.com and enter the code CFP15. News and notes time. We just got a couple things here. Dave Naylor was talking on TSN Radio, said CFL and the teams believe there will be a 2021 season, just not right away. They're going to play, probably going to be delayed just with the situation in Ontario. Three of the nine teams are in the province that is kind of struggling the most with COVID right now. It sucks, but it's something we have to deal with before sports should be played in the country or can be played in the country, I guess.
I'm an optimist.
It's the reality.
Yeah, I'm an optimist. I really want the season to go ahead. I definitely think, you know, behind closed doors, everything in play to get this thing going is being done. We got to see a season. I mean, just from a fan perspective, but I heard the take. A take, interesting take. I don't agree, but I want your thoughts on this. Somebody said that, or I heard somebody say that because of, you know, the situation in Ontario, the only way to make this go is a bubble. What do you think about that? I don't think so. I think we can do this now that, vaccines are rolling out. We're in summer. We're getting outdoors. The most challenging thing to me isn't how they're going to play. It's how they're going to make money without fans, right? They're trying to figure out how to do this without fans in the stands.
Yeah, and when you look at the NFL and the way they were able to use their season, they didn't have fans, but they made a ton of money off of TV deals. And the CFL doesn't have that same ability being tied up with strictly TSN. Because of that, they're so reliant on fans in the stands that it's a tough look when you're asking to make money on this.
So we're both out on the bubble then. We can safely agree on that.
Yeah. Very out.
moving into some draft stuff. Not quite the combine results yet, but global draft, man. We said this on last week's show. Punters and kickers are a thing in the global draft. And boy, were they ever.
Yeah, even Kare Vedvik, the throwaway from Baltimore Ravens a couple years ago, has kind of wandered his way into the CFL global draft, and Saskatchewan picked him up. I mean, it's a guy that did have some value in the NFL for about 3 weeks, and then he was never again heard from or seen. But yeah, even guys like that that have been in the pros kind of faltered and fell off the end of the earth, they found their way back somehow. So kudos to all those guys as well, getting some big time contracts and a chance to play professional football in Canada.
I mean, signing players in general. I mean, when you talk about these guys getting shots and getting drafted, gives you a little bit of hope. We're getting closer. Guys are still getting signed. Contracts are still getting done and reported on. So I don't think these things would be coming out as heavily as they are if we weren't leaning that way.
Very much agree on that one. I think that these scheduled events going on at the proper time, it's kind of a hope that this can turn into a full season. One last thing though, saw a report that said 15 billion with a B billion was spent in Canada on sports betting. 450 million of that was legal. Huge market in Canada for sports gambling. if the CFL does not take full advantage of this, you're just wasting space and availability for an income.
Montreal Alouettes, they've already started to seek opportunity in this.
Yes, they have. And that is with our partner at All Canadian, Bet99. Just a reminder, as we get into the CFL season, that $15 billion could be legal if you choose to bet with Bet99. Every game starts at Bet99. We are responsible gambling.
Dude, let's talk about some combine results. They're finally in. Finally in.
Slamming the table already. Ben Leaping Hladik.
Oh, University man.
Of British Columbia.
How gross was this dude's pro day?
He outbenched most offensive and defensive linemen. He outran quite a few DBs with a 4.66, 29 reps at bench. I forgot to mention that. He jumped 10'7" in the broad jump. Hello, that is extremely far. You can lay down a basketball net and he would be able to jump himself to the hoop and more. And then also had a 4.167 shuttle. So he runs with the agility of most DBs and receivers as well.
That's the number to me right there. That's most impressive. That 4.16 shuttle, man, that is like lateral quickness is so important for linebackers. And you go and you blaze a 4.16 shuttle, man, you're getting looks. You are getting looks.
Those numbers are
this dude's athletic.
Those are freaky numbers. Like,
man.
And it doesn't help that his running mate from UBC, Nick Cross, has been dealing with injury rehab and wasn't able to put out his own pro day. But like, Ben Hladik is a freak. And we know Nick Cross is a freak. Like, what the hell have the two of them been eating and working out with? Because UBC has crafted the Monstars at linebacker. I'm blown away by these numbers, and to do it at his size, like six, I think he came in officially at 6'4", 240. Like 240 is a big weight for a linebacker, especially to be running a 4.167 shuttle. Like that's a lot of weight to be pushing around and a lot of length in the 6'4 frame to be moving.
Thunderbird secret stuff in the water bottles over there, man. They are pumping out athletes. Talking about big men, though. Cole Nelson, the Alberta defensive lineman, 25 reps on the bench. He can move that weight. 4.96, 40 at 3.11. 4.96, 40 at 3.11. He outran all of the offensive linemen in the combine. This dude's athletic as well. You talk about athleticism. The Golden Bears defensive lineman. This dude, and you watched his tape. How freaky is this guy?
He's a monster. I mean, they move him around on the defensive line. He plays three tech for them. He dominates one-on-ones. I mean, this guy is a big man who can move like nobody's business. For the record, he also outran every quarterback at the regional combine. So if you are playing quarterback and Cole Nelson is across from you, take an extra half second to get out of the damn pocket because he's coming fast. But Cole Nelson, though, like the 4.96 40, like that's insane. Like this guy is moving a lot of weight fast. He's showing the strength as well with the 25 reps. He's getting drafted. At the very least, he's getting changed over to an offensive lineman because with the strength and speed like that, you're showing yourself that you could develop into someone who can block. I know there's a couple players that have been changed over, like Kay Okafor from CNFX the last couple years. So it is possible. But Cole Nelson, waiting for the phone call now. That's all it is.
Definitely earned some extra looks with those combine results. Keeping it in the can West, though.
Grant McDonald, guy that we have not been as vocal about as we were early on, but he is still around. We just kind of had to cool it for a bit. 17 reps, so he's very strong still. 4.56 40. We knew the speed was coming out, and then a 4.46 shuttle showing that he can get out side to side as well. Just, you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, letting everyone know that he's still who he is, Grant McDonald, going to mess plays up for you and beat people to the hole. So average Joe crossing them off, making sure, yep, I still have all the great numbers. Don't worry about me. I'm still here. Like, he's just finalizing his spots.
Yeah, Grant McDonald's getting drafted. He just kind of showed up to this pro day and was like, yo, I'm still athletic, everybody. Thanks for coming out. I'll see you at the draft. Grant McDonald, hell of a ball player. Yeah, we've been quiet on him, but that's just because his play and his tape and, you know, he speaks for himself
early on.
At this point. Oh, absolutely. We're still pulling hard for our guy, Grant McDonald.
One guy that we do have to mention, though, I tweeted this out. Connor's GG, guy that we had on the show a couple weeks ago. Coach Nate Taylor over at U Ottawa. We know how much he likes to lift. We've talked to everybody about it. We've even talked to Nate about it. The work ethic goes to his position group. Dylan St. Pierre, the wide receiver, hit 20 dang reps at bench.
Nate, this dude.
Come, like, that's more than double the next wide receiver. I think the next one was like 9 reps.
Yeah. Yeah, no, DSP, man. Athletic, that 4.2 shuttle.
Yeah, I know he's showing up getting out of it too. Getting in and out of breaks.
Oh man, shout out to those guys though. DSP putting on a hell of a show at his combine. 20 reps, man. That's Alaric Jackson territory. 4.2 shuttle. That's that speed. I'm happy for DSP, man. I think he's definitely gonna earn some looks. And like we've talked about too, his team ability, his special team ability is.
Well, the 20 reps will help the teams, no doubt. He's shown that he can block guys out. He can separate if someone's trying to engage and block on him. So for him, it's really everything he needed to do at his pro day, he hit. So yeah. Great job by DSP. We are going to include one defensive back, though. We cannot just have a bunch of big bodies lifting a bunch of weight here. RJ Shelley, the Manitoba Bison. I think he weighed in at 195 pounds, 6'4", 195 pounds. So big guy again, 11 reps on bench. DB, very solid number to hit. Anything up 10 and up on a DB, you're going to say, yeah, check that box. 10, 8, and an 1/8 broad jump. He's flying through the air. 4.3 shuttle as well for him. So, you know, these guys are just freaks of nature. I cannot stress this enough. Like, how many guys do we talk about that you see the size, the speed, and the twitchy athletic ability?
And to me, like, that translates in the broad jump. I mean, as a DB, it's so important to have that lower leg power and that lower leg thrust. And you really demonstrate that with the broad jump. If you can go out and stand still and jump, like literally jump to the basketball hoop, like you were saying, like that's going to translate into your play with quick hips and strong feet.
Yeah. And another thing that it does, right, when you're talking about that power, you want to fire your hips into tackles. We hear people all the time talking about exploding through the legs, violent explosion into the tackle to kind of create that force to blow back a ball carrier. That comes in the broad jump. Like, you see the power be able to shrink down and then expand quickly and hit that force necessary to drive you that distance. And for these guys like him and Ben Hlitdeek, who had the high tens, like over 10 and a half feet broad jumps, like that's a lot to clear. And it shows some great strength by him. So RJ Shelley, fantastic showing as well out in Can West. We had a lot of guys out there. I think 4 of our 5 were Can Westers. So a lot of those guys that are top end athletes we are seeing out of that conference this year, coming out of the RSEQ and the AUS as well. Don't forget about those conferences. First of all, we got Louis Philippe Gregoire, the running back from Bishops, 25 reps on bench. Great pass pro looks there for him and his strength. 4.9 40, so still solid. And then a 4.46 shuttle, which you'd like to see him get in and out of breaks. So great for him to be able to put on a good combine showing and hopefully get his name called.
Yeah, he definitely earned some looks. Stock up on him a little bit. 25 rep bench. Love that, like you were saying, for pass pro. 4.46 shuttle. You can get under 4.5. That's a pretty good shuttle time. So how about going to the RSEQ with Laval wide receiver Matthew Robitaille? 17 rep bench at 187, 4.63 40, and a 4.26 shuttle. Laval is a program of excellence. You got to expect to see a Laval name have a good combine day somewhere.
17 reps at 187 pounds. It's kind of wild. Like, he's outweighed on it by what? Almost 40 pounds. And he's going to throw it up 17 times. Like, it's nothing. That's pretty damn good. 4.63 is about par for the 40 times. 4.26 shuttle, just under average from what we were seeing. So, very good showing for him as well, to display his athletic ability, a guy that you could kind of use as a special teamer as well. Talking about Louis-Philippe Gregoire, Mathieu Robitaille, and DSP a bit earlier. So a lot of these guys are making their names known and showing their athletic ability.
You think there's a certain GM in a certain red, white, and blue team that's kind of eyeing up this Laval wide receiver to tap that hotbed that is the RSEQ that he was talking about?
Now, here's the thing with Machocha. We have the hotbed in Quebec, but like, that was your rival. So does it count for everyone but Laval, or is it just like let bygones be bygones and we can kind of do this thing together?
I think at this point in the CFL, try to be professional here, you're going to take the talent over the school, but I think it's going to translate to the locker room and there's going to be some fun little rivalries in there.
Well, I mean, they play what?
Twice a year.
Twice a year, you always count that playoffs as well. So there could be some good bets on the line.
He's a former coach, man. He's still competitive.
So that's it for our guys from the combine. We are now going to kind of mention a little brief thing about our top five positional groups. We put these out on Saturday afternoon, just kind of letting you guys know where our top 100 was at. We have been working on that. It's almost done. But we for sure knew the top five in each position group, and we wanted to get those guys to you. With that, we did have some questions on it. It is the top five draft eligible players. You saw names like Javon Holland, Josh Palmer on those lists, Chuba Hubbard as well, Eamon Ogbonbamiga. Those guys we know are going to the NFL. Like, they are going to be on an NFL roster. So for a CFL team to pick them up, you may never see them on a Canadian field. But they are still draft eligible players. They are guys that can be selected and guys that we think will be selected just so that some team maintains the rights. If you think it's kind of outlandish to do, someone drafted Neville Gallimore's rights last year, even though he was a third round pick, it just kind of secures that you hold the negotiating rights if something strange happened, like maybe a freak injury and they can't get cut right away. It just kind of covers you to get a top end player. So there was that as well. And then the pro day numbers, we kind of put these out just after we saw them. We kind of looked over each of the combine numbers and said, are we still confident with this list? Yeah, we are. Some of these guys, like, we were like, oh yeah, well now they're going to be in that spot because like we liked them before and now we love them. Some guys we did question, but play tapes speaks for itself. Whether you had a bad section of your pro day or combine, doesn't make or break your entire career as a football player. If you want case in point, Orlando Brown down in Baltimore was the laughing stock of the NFL combine, and now he's one of the top right tackles in the league. Pro Bowl caliber left tackle as well. So we aren't going to be killing guys because of bad performances. It is one day and your tape speaks for itself.
Absolutely. And we will be pumping out our top 100 soon. Now that the combine results are out, we're going to take a look back over that list, solidify it, pump it out soon. Now we're going to take some time to talk about one guy in each position group that we really like here. And I will let you start it off. Draft season. Kick it off. Draft your offensive lineman, as you will.
Sage Dockstader, give me the size. Give me the potential growth. We saw what Matt O'Donnell was able to form into. It's a guy that has kind of similar body build to Dockstader. Obviously, one played in the South, one played up at Queens. One won a Vanier Cup, which we will be getting to in about a week or so. But at the same time, Dockstader, you see the frame, you see the mold. You can kind of put that all together, coach him up for a year or two, and you could have one hell of a young offensive lineman developing on your roster. To me, the promise speaks too much, and the tape is fairly clean as well. So we do like to see that. That's why he was included on the list.
Yeah, certainly one of the top offensive linemen in this year's draft class. I think you're going to see somebody take him, and I think he's going to be a round one offensive lineman. I think the talent is just too much to pass up on, or the prospect of talent is too much to pass up on.
Definitely agree with that one. I'm going to take defensive lineman here so that you can take the next two guys. I know you're pretty excited about them. D lineman, the one that kind of snuck in was Cole Nelson for us. You heard us talk about his pro day numbers. We had him in the list before the pro day. We were kind of fishing around, looking at tape of guys, reaching out to some people around U Sports and talking about it with them. For us, Cole Nelson, the thing that drew us to him was the size and the ability to play three tech, one tech, if you really need him to. Even in a 3-4 scheme, I know there's not too many of those up here in Canada, but a true 3-4 scheme, you could see him out at a 5-tech, playing nose up on a tackle if he wanted. And the athleticism that we saw from the combine really backed that up to us. He's a guy that you can move across your interior D-line and still get good results from. The stats aren't overwhelming, but outside of Aaron Donald, you don't usually, and Cam Lawson, I guess, for U Sports purposes, you don't really see interior linemen rake in that many sacks, because they usually draw the double team. And I mean, you're freeing up plays for other guys.
The proverbial F the play up guy, as we like to call him. He's not going to show up on that stat sheet, but his impact is going to be felt all game long. And that's Cole Nelson.
Is Cole Nelson this year's F the play up guy? We had it as Cam last year. Okay.
Yeah, no, picture. Cole Nelson is this year's F the play up guy. Certainly.
Book it and sell it. Now, I'm going to give this one to Connor. This is a kind of new name for people who have been following us throughout draft season this year. I'm going to let Connor take the RBs.
Yeah, in putting together this draft 100 list and these top five lists, there's like a ton of players that we got to go through. We got, the CFL draft list is huge this year. There's guys from all over. I'm going to go with a small school guy here at the running back position. To highlight for the running backs, you know, you've heard us talk about Kyle Borsa and his pro day. So now to switch it up and go in a newer direction, Deontay Glover, the Shepherd University running back. That is a D2 school. And in 2019, this dude had 1,359 yards on 200 carries, piling in 19 TDs. Through the air, he had 385 receiving yards and 3 reception TDs as well. This dude's a baller. This dude's rocked as well. You should see this guy.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, what is that? 22 total touchdowns in a season. That's extremely impressive. I mean, we're talking a lot of production, a lot of versatility as well, close to 400 yards receiving, so he can catch the ball. Speed, strength, size. He's got the packages. Just, you know, you don't really hear of a school, Shepherd University in the States, because it is lower level competition, but that's nothing to knock somebody on, especially in this day and age where players are coming out of the woodworks and random schools that explode onto the stage and become superstars.
So I think he's definitely going to get a look. I don't know if he's going to be a high pick, but I think you're going to see him maybe going in one of the later rounds. Somebody's going to look at this dude and what he does with the ball in his hands and be like, yeah, hey, let's see if we can develop this guy, maybe keep him around, put him on special teams for a year, see what he can do in pass pro as a CFLer in camp and things like that. But worth a shot, worth a late round shot, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Even for the return aspect, I mean, kind of guy with his number of touchdowns, you would hope that he would be able to find an end zone once or twice on a special teams play.
He, He does have return experience at Shepherd. He has a long, I believe it's a 90 plus yard run back for a score. So he can return the ball.
Absolutely. We're going to move on now. Defensive side of the ball. We got a fun one.
Grant McDonald, fun. You know, you heard us talk about him up top earlier in the show. This dude's so athletic and so good off the blitz and finding holes and getting into the field. And the play that always sticks out in my mind to me is when they were playing Manitoba and he came in off the edge. He was patient. The running back was forced to bounce. And Grant McDonald made a great open field tackle, which is such an underrated skill. Like you think defense and you're like, yeah, that guy should be able to tackle. He's a linebacker, but tackling in space is a completely different skill set.
Yeah, it is. It's something that you see pro players constantly having to refine and work on. I mean, Seattle Seahawks are famous for practicing their rugby technique for tackling, and that's what it is essentially, is getting into space and making those tackles out on your own, finding a way to get guys down without giving up too much ground and without allowing them to cut back to where you have no help. One thing on this linebacker group, though, we went 1 through 5 on these guys. We had Amen Ogbogbemiga at number 1, NFL talent through and through. Number 2, Deshaun Stevens, who we've talked to, unbelievable talent. Ben Hladik, don't get me started. Then you have Grant McDonald, who we've just mentioned. And then it's Nick Cross, who's rehabbing from an injury. Like, this group is solid. Like, it really could be 1A through E. Like, that's how tight these guys are. It's unbelievable the talent that we have in this year's class at linebacker.
I was actually just about to say, can we just go like 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D? Like, this linebacker group is so good.
We even have some of the guys that we're big fans of, like Miles Manilow, that we didn't put on this list. Like, there are guys that we've had to cut off of our list just because we couldn't fit them in.
This linebacker, like, the linebacker group in this year's draft class is so deep. I think it, as in terms of a group, it might be my favorite position group this year. There's so much talent.
My favorite position group every year. Just kidding. I love the D lineman usually every year. I just am fascinated watching pass rush moves and fighting off run blocks. But the linebacker group this year, the speed just mesmerizes me. Like, I watch these guys fly around different ways on the field, and I'm like, okay, someone's going to, like, the sad thing is not all of these guys are going to be stars, but you want every single one of these guys to, because you just are blown away by their tape every single time you put it on.
Cannot wait.
I'm going to take receivers, though. Glowden Mullally, for me, we put him at, what, number 5 for us, behind Bruno Labelle, the tight end. We threw the tight ends in with wide receivers because they are all pass catchers. And when you come up to the CFL, Bruno Labelle will probably be a number 3, which will put him out wide receivers. So, but for us, Glowden Mullally, the 189, we talked to him about how much he's put on that weight. He did hit 8 reps, 10-1 7/8 broads, so pretty much 10-2, 4-6, and a 4.03 shuttle. So he showed the track speed. He showed the ability to get out of the blocks quick, making that turnaround on the shuttle. Jumping ability was there. Check that box off. Bench, we know he's been grinding that. Check that box off. For us, though, put him at number 5. Like, the work ethic for Glowden Mullally is going to carry him higher and higher up as he progresses in his career in football. I mean, just the ability to say, yeah, I put on 15 pounds. I've been working nonstop with CFL guys since we were told we weren't going to get a season. Really, like, for him to be able to do that and dedicate himself that much to his craft without knowing if he would even be a CFL selection. We knew that he had a good chance, but now he's booked himself in that. He's truly one of the best playmakers we have in the draft.
Glowden Mullally is going to be a CFLer. He is going to be a CFLer. I have no doubt.
Shout out to the East Coast football for developing that stud of an athlete.
In the DB group here, I'd love to talk about Redick Ramsey. Somehow that dude didn't land on our top 5, and that was a very difficult decision for me.
He's number 6.
He's the next guy up. That was a tough one for me to let go. But Nelson Lucumbo, this dude had a great pro day. The reigning defensive MVP for U Sports. 10 reps on bench, so check that box off. 9-11 broad jump. You'd like to see that at the 10 mark, but still got to 9-11, almost 10. 4.66 40, 4.03 shuttle, showing off the speed. 5'10", though. You'd like to see him a little bit taller, but still, the athleticism. The athleticism.
I really wish they released vertical numbers. I know he put it in his video that he had tweeted out and put on YouTube. But the official vert numbers weren't really thrown in with the combine ones listed on the CFL. 4.66, like, for a guy that runs away from so many people on tape, like, I was surprised to see him hit 4.66 when we know Ben Hladik hit 4.66. Because to me, if Ben's 4.66, Nelson should be like 4.48 or sub. Like, he looks that fast on tape. So I was kind of shocked with that one.
Yeah. The 4.03 shuttle, though. I mean, 4.66 still good, but 4.03 shuttle, man, that's what grabs my attention. That's insane. I mean,
you talk about DBs and getting in and out of breaks, whether he's step replace or he's T-step. I don't know which technique he's been taught and grown up with, but for him to be able to hit that and get in and out of breaks, it's going to help so much undercutting routes and making plays on balls, which we know he's fantastic at. So it makes sense to see that.
Yeah, he was the defensive MVP for a reason with the Saskatchewan Huskies in the Can West. Talk about locking down a field. That's what Nelson Lucumbo does. We're not thrilled with the 5'10", but at the end of the day, when you can play from the hole like Nelson Lucumbo can, and I know he was playing halfback, but I think you can rotate him up top, and he plays that up top position very well. As a halfback, he does have to play too high a little bit, and he does it. It's noticeable on tape when he's making plays from up top. Can I ask you, though, T-step or step replace?
Step replace.
All day. All day. T-step's way too slow for my liking. Love to see it. When a guy step replaces, I love it. sometimes you got to stick a foot in the ground and just go. There's no way around it. But anyways.
No, with Nelson Lucumbo, though, like, we talk about 5'10", like it's some like doomed number, but quite frankly, he jumps out of the gym. He's still a freak. Like, whether he's 5'10" or not, that ball has to come down at some point. And we know that as soon as the ball comes within his reach, he's snatching that thing from you. Like,
yeah, Nelson Lucumbo gets up.
I don't care if the receiver is 6'10". He's 5'10". That receiver has to bring it somewhere close that he can just reach up and pull it from you. And we know he's coming away with the ball. That's just the kind of player he is.
One thing we don't get in the CFL Combine that I would love to, and I guess this is just like one last point before we go here, but one thing we don't get in the CFL Combine that we get in the NFL Combine that I would love to see transfer over, especially for DBs, is wingspan. If he's 5'10", but he's got a 6'3 wingspan, I'm cool.
Oh, yeah. No, the teams do get the wingspan numbers released to them. But unfortunately, with the CFL Combine, they do keep the measurements like that tucked in. But no, I agree. Like, for all we know, he could have that 6'3", 6'4 wingspan where he's just, like, scratching his knees as he walks. And then all of a sudden, you go to throw a ball and it's, like, touching the clouds as he comes out of nowhere with it. No, like, I'm completely fine if he has a huge, massive wingspan. Like, if he has T-Rex arms and he's 5'10", then you start to worry. But it's clear from his tape that he does not.
No, this man is a baller. Nelson Lucumbo is going to go high. I think he stays in the West. I really think the Western teams are eyeing a guy like this. And that's the draft pool too, right? But
as always, though, you guys heard us on Saturday talking with Sam Corbet from Sawdust City. Absolute wonderful guy. Great time with him. Go on, check that one out. But as always, Sawdust City Brewing Company offers brewery fresh beer delivered directly to your door. Visit their website at sawdustcity.com or sawdustcitybeer.com to shop their wide variety of brews and to learn more. Mojito Storm, book it. My favorite one for the summertime. Connor, when we're living in Toronto, gonna be a hell of a lot of those coming through the house. This April, though, we're almost done the month. CFP listeners are getting an exclusive promo code. Use all caps CFP during checkout to receive free shipping on all orders over $100. Shipping is available to Ontario residents only. Must be of legal drinking age.
The Canadian Football Perspective Podcast Network is brought to you by our friends over at Fox 40, the worldwide leaders in whistle technology. For 15% off all your return to play whistle needs, visit fox40shop.com and enter the code CFP15 for 15% off at checkout at fox40shop.com. That closes our episode out. Prayers up to Marsh, though. He got some teeth pulled. He got the wisdoms out. That's a brutal one. So prayers for his teeth and prayers for his soul after he was absolutely decimated by Mike Hogan on Twitter, calling him soft. He said, Kingston guys can't. He said, there's no way a guy from Kingston can be that soft. So Marsh, dude, hope you have a good recovery.
Hey, the good thing with Marsh, though, him and his son, Noah, have been enjoying some quality bonding time over their soft foods. So good for Noah to be able to get that time in. Absolute wonderful that they can taste test those together. All the best, though. Enough kidding around. Hope Marsh is back and flying by Friday's show with Kyle Mello. They always have a great episode then, so you guys can check that out. As always, though, you know Connor and I are going to be back on Thursday. You know we're going to be here. So stay tuned for that. Check out DT and the breakdown tomorrow. As always, you know where to find us on social media too. Wade Zhang 27, Connor R. O'Neill, at CF Perspective. Have a great Tuesday.
Catch you guys on Thursday.